Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Everybody, welcome into the Hank Haney Podcast. It is Minnesota Tim Peroshka. You are listening to the Hank Haney Podcast with Minnesota Tim Peroshka. So I'm trying something a little bit different for this episode of the Hank Haney Podcast. So one, I am on a YouTube video, so you can watch me recording right now on your computer screen or on your cell phone, iPad, whatever. So that's an option. I'm recording into Zoom, which I will post to YouTube sometime on Sunday. Also, I am hosting the Hank Haney Podcast on a Sunday. So that's pretty cool as well. It's a little something different this week that I'm going for. Instead of recording late in the week on a Thursday or Friday, which I still might do with Cousin Tyler, occasionally, I am recording at 12:29, 30 minutes after midnight Central Time. So what I want to talk about is the Century Tournament of Champions. There's actually a lot of topics associated with this tournament. And it's really unfortunate that the Century Tournament of Champions just happens to be during the biggest part of the NFL season. It's the NFL playoffs. It's wild card weekend. I'm watching a highlight of Russell Wilson getting sacked by the Rams. There were so many great games on Saturday, and there are going to be so many great games on Sunday, which really is a detriment to the tournament currently happening on the PGA Tour. I understand that the Century Tournament of Champions is attractive to golf diehards. It's attractive to golf diehards. But what I'm going to tell you is this. The tournament is not attractive to TV sponsors. The tournament is not attractive to television because it's on Golf Channel and not many people even get the Golf Channel to watch the Century Tournament of Champions. And this sucks. It sucks for golf because when you look at the field in the tournament, typically, it is all winners. It's typically all winners playing from the previous year. But as you should know, if you're listening to this podcast, they invited the top 30 from the FedEx Cup from last year, which means this field is absolutely stellar. This is, not including major championships, one of the best fields that you will see on the PGA Tour during the year. You could, I guess, include WGCs in there. I guess you could include the Players' Championship. Obviously, that's one of the best fields of the year. That's the PGA Tour's baby. But if you exclude WGCs, major championships, and the Players' Championship, this is probably the best field of the year on the PGA Tour. I understand that I excluded a lot of events and have a large caveat associated with this field, but there are so many tournaments on the PGA Tour, and this season on the PGA Tour is considered a super season with six major championships, and I forget how many events, 48, 52, I feel like there's 52 events. I honestly feel like there's 52 events. I could be wrong in that number. But there are so many events on the PGA Tour that are so meaningless, that are not even watchable. The Mayakoba Golf Classic, that was not a watchable tournament on the PGA Tour. Some of the tournaments coming up next week, the Sony Open, which will have half as great a field with way more players, will not be very watchable. I'm going to watch it because I enjoy watching golf, but it's not going to attract an audience. The ratings are going to be absolutely horrendous. And it's really, really sad for golf because when you look at the ratings, and I understand that there's people cord cutting and stuff like that, but you also need to understand that this tournament is on Golf Channel. It's on Golf Channel. It's not on NBC. It's not on Channel 11. It's on Golf Channel, which tells you one thing. The tournament isn't important, which sucks because it has 9 of the 10 players in the top 10 of the world golf rankings, plus Patrick Reed, plus Tony Finau, plus Daniel Berger, plus Sungjae Im. There are so many great players in the field, and there are so many great players in the top 7. And I don't throw around great. I don't throw around great casually. I'm not someone that sees some player win a meaningless event on the PGA Tour and then calls this player great. Of course, they're better than the average player. But when Brian Gay won the Bermuda Championship, the first thing that came to my head was that Brian Gay was a 48-year-old golfer winning the Bermuda Championship. It wasn't that Brian Gay is a great golfer on the PGA Tour. Brian Gay is obviously a great golfer. Not on the PGA Tour. A great golfer is Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson. Great is elite. Of course, there's good players. Ryan Palmer's a good player. He's won on the PGA Tour. Harris English is a good player. He's won twice on the PGA Tour. Those are the two guys in the lead. But there are many great players within striking distance. Justin Thomas, 4 shots back entering Sunday. That's still within striking distance. For a player as great as Justin Thomas, he still has a chance in this tournament. And Justin Thomas is a guy that I actually guaranteed to win the Century Tournament of Champions for several reasons. One, Justin Thomas has had success in this event a lot. Last year he won, the year before in 2019 he finished 3rd, and in 2018 he also won the event. Plus, Justin Thomas is one of those guys that really wants to start the year out right on the PGA Tour. And not everyone has that same focus level as Justin Thomas. When Justin Thomas approaches a 2021 PGA Tour season, he approaches the season with huge goals, with great goals, with great accomplishments that he's trying to achieve. He expects to win a major championship. A major championship, I guarantee you, is on Justin Thomas's list of goals every single year on the PGA Tour. I also guarantee you that winning player of the year is another thing on Justin Thomas's goals. And then third thing, I bet you Justin Thomas wants to win the FedEx Cup, because players are winning $15 million now for winning the FedEx Cup. And don't tell me that's not attractive to the likes of Justin Thomas or any great player. Then you have Dustin Johnson. He's a couple of shots back as well. He's in the top 10. He's not going to win. He's 7 shots back entering Sunday, but he's in the top 10. John Rahm's in the top 10. Those two might get paired together on Sunday. That would be entertaining television. But it's unfortunate that there's 3 NFL games on Sunday and nobody's going to watch. It is just a travesty that the PGA Tour this week will not be watched by many people. The rating is going to get less than a 1. It will probably get less than a 0.5. I mean, if you tell anybody, even golf diehards, if they're going to watch the NFL on Sunday, the wild card weekend, or if they're going to watch golf, and most likely, if they're being honest with themselves, they're going to watch NFL weekend. And this just sucks, seriously. It is a travesty, like I said, that nobody will be watching the Century Tournament of Champions. Nobody is watching. It's just, I mean, Ryan Palmer, Harris English, not a great top of the leaderboard, but Colin Morikawa's right there, Daniel Berger, Sungjae Im. This tournament will have a great finish. Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay. There are great players surrounding the top of the leaderboard, not at the top of the leaderboard.
but yeah, nobody's going to watch. That's unfortunate. So one thing that did catch my eye in this tournament, one thing that did catch my eye in the Century Tournament of Champions is a huge debate, is a huge topic in the game of golf right now. It is a leading topic in golf probably 4 or 5 times a year at a minimum, maybe 7 or 8 times a year. It's always a leading topic in golf. And that's what I want to get into next. I'm going to reveal what I'm thinking, what I noticed. And in the final segment, I'm going to take you through the lines, through the final round lines on the PGA Tour. And I'm going to suggest which ones to bet. Because in golf, betting is very different than other sports. You can make so much money because even if you pick the player that's favored, Harris English, for example, he's plus 200 to win. So if you put 100 on him, you win $200. So that's pretty cool. So I'm going to run through that in the final segment as well. But first, go to HaneyUniversity.com right now, where you can find Hank Haney's free daily golf tips, all available in a newsletter that comes out daily. And this newsletter is full of so much great information. If you want to improve your game during the winter months, if you're in the Midwest like I am, or if you're on the East Coast, or if you're in the mountains on vacation or something, subscribing to this free newsletter will help your game. I am learning already how to manage your game around the golf course. People talk about managing their game. People talk about the importance of managing their game, but nobody actually understands what it is, what it means, what kind of shots to hit. And Hank explains this. He explains all of these things. Plus, he takes you through short game instructional drills, driver tips, short game tips, putting, chipping, pitching, iron game. There is so much valuable information, all available for free on HaneyUniversity.com. We will be right back on the Hank Haney Podcast. All right, everybody, Minnesota Tim Perashka on this Sunday, getting you ready for the final round of the Century Tournament of Champions. So this caught my eye on Saturday night as I was looking on the PGA Tour website, looking at the leaderboard. So people talk to me about, well, people don't talk to me, they talk to everybody. The distance discussion in golf is such a one-way argument, it seems. It's becoming more one-way than any other argument in the game of golf. Everybody wants something rolled back. If you talk to writers, they want the golf ball rolled back or equipment rolled back or something. If you talk to casual golf fans, a lot of them want the equipment rolled back. A lot of people have gotten on the bandwagon of rolling back something in the game of golf, whether it's the clubs, whether it's the golf ball. People are running out of ideas because these players are just absolutely demolishing these PGA Tour courses. They're hitting the ball further. They're swinging faster. The ball's going further, which means some of these golf courses, in their minds, are becoming obsolete. But I disagree with that. I honestly completely disagree with that. I actually did a study last year where I looked at the scores in the year 2000, and then I looked at the scores in the year 2020, and scores were actually worse in 2020 than they were in 2000 through the Arnold Palmer Invitational in 2020. So don't give me this scores are too low crap. When I looked at the scores in 2000, and they were actually better than they were in 2020. So let's get past this idea. So another thing that I, this is what I noticed. I look at the leaderboard, and what do I see? I see Brendan Todd tied for 10th. Brendan Todd's tied for 10th. He's 14 under par. He's tied with Dustin Johnson and John Rahm. What do I see just below Brendan Todd? I see Bryson DeChambeau. So what is the first thing that you think of if you see Bryson DeChambeau below Brendan Todd on the PGA Tour leaderboard entering the final round in the Century Tournament of Champions? Well, Bryson DeChambeau in 2020 drove the ball 322 yards on the PGA Tour, which ranks first. That's a PGA Tour record for driving distance. And his driving accuracy was very good for the length that he hits the golf ball. He finished 140th in driving accuracy on the PGA Tour, which is near a lot of great players like Rory McIlroy, who doesn't drive the ball very straight either. But that's really good for hitting a drive 322 yards. I actually did some research the other day, and Bryson DeChambeau, his driving accuracy is actually better than it was in 2016 or 2017. I forget which year it was. But now he's hitting it way further. So it's just pretty cool to see how he's been able to create this speed, create this length, but maintain driving accuracy. Because the further you hit the golf ball, the more difficult it is to keep it on the line that you want to keep it on. But this is what I wanted to get into. I mentioned Bryson's driving numbers on the PGA Tour in 2020. Then I pulled up Brendan Todd's, okay? Brendan Todd in 2020, 282 yards per drive, ranks 187th. That is 40 yards less than Bryson DeChambeau. He drives the ball 40 yards less on average than Bryson DeChambeau. And he's ahead of Bryson DeChambeau on the leaderboard at the Century Tournament of Champions by a one shot. Now, Bryson might finish ahead of Brendan Todd, but this idea that golf is completely all about distance is a bunch of crap. It seriously is. I look at the PGA Tour statistics. Off the tee, Brendan Todd, through three rounds, is negative 3.588 strokes gained off the tee. Negative 3.5, ranked 40th in a field of 42. Tee to green, minus 0.684, ranked 24th, so in the bottom half. Then I look at Bryson DeChambeau off the tee. Bryson DeChambeau, of course, he's first. He gained 5.484 shots off the tee. So he gained over 8 shots off the tee just against Brendan Todd, 5.4 versus negative 3.5. And then I look at Bryson DeChambeau tee to green, 3.8, ranked 9th. So clearly, Bryson DeChambeau has the advantage. He's ranked first. Brendan Todd is ranked 40th in off the tee. But yet, Brendan Todd is ahead of Bryson DeChambeau. Now, don't get me wrong here, okay? I am not an idiot. Clearly, Bryson DeChambeau has an advantage. Okay, clearly Bryson DeChambeau is a better player. And maybe Bryson will even finish better than Brendan Todd. But my point is this. Distance isn't everything. Distance isn't everything. Or we would see world long drive champions winning on the PGA Tour. And we never see world long drive champions on the PGA Tour to begin with. So this idea that Bryson DeChambeau is making some of these golf courses obsolete is absolutely ridiculous. Sure, does he take out a bunker here or there? Does he take out a bunker that is supposed to be in play because the designer wanted it to be designed this way? I'm sure he has. I'm sure he does it weekly on the PGA Tour. And what's the leading story? Oh, Bryson DeChambeau. He clearly got over 200 mile per hour ball speed on his driver. He got over 207 mile per hour ball speed on his driver. But this is something I thought about. Bryson, at tournaments like the Century Tournament of Champions, doesn't have as big an advantage as he would at a U.S. Open. So what made Bryson so spectacular in the U.S. Open was this. He was driving the ball further than most people in the field. I believe he finished seventh in driving distance in the U.S. Open. So even though he won the event, he didn't even finish first. People seem to like forget or just show a blind eye to this crap. People just pretend not to notice. It's a statistic that doesn't support their narrative, so they just pretend not to see it, which I think is so stupid. But Bryson has a bigger advantage in the U.S. Open than he does in the Century Tournament of Champions. And the reasoning is this. In the U.S. Open, everyone's in the rough. Everyone's in the rough. So Bryson attacking pins is hitting pitching wedges and nine irons and sand wedges versus a guy like Brendan Todd, for example. If he was playing in the U.S. Open and he's driving the ball in the rough, he needs to hit six and seven irons out of that stuff. He needs to chop at it. And he's got no chance at putting it near the pin. Whereas in the Century Tournament of Champions, everyone's in the fairway. Everyone's in the fairway. Everyone's hitting short irons in the pins. So Bryson's advantage isn't as huge in the Century Tournament of Champions as it is in the U.S. Open. And that's why we see Brendan Todd ahead of Bryson on the leaderboard. Even though he drives the ball this week. Let's just look this week. This week, Bryson DeChambeau driving distance ranked first. Of course he is. 309 yards per drive. Brendan Todd, he's ranked dead last, 42nd. 251 yards. Bryson DeChambeau is driving the ball 58 yards further than Brendan Todd. So, is the ball going too far? Or does the ball go too far in two or three tournaments a year on the PGA Tour, which drives this crazy-ass narrative, which is stupid? It's just stupid. Let them play. In fact, if you rolled back the ball, you're giving Bryson DeChambeau an even bigger advantage. Because let's say we roll back the ball 10 yards, okay? Bryson DeChambeau still driving the ball 300 yards. And Brendan Todd, he's driving the ball 240. So do you even listen to yourselves? Do you even analyze? Or are you just listening to golf writers and people in the golf media proclaiming and spewing this nonsense that the golf ball goes too far and that equipment needs to be rolled back because this course was not designed to play this way? Throw that narrative out the window. Look at the information yourself and analyze it yourself. All right, when I come back, I'm going to talk about the betting lines entering the final round for the Century Tournament of Champions. Go to voodoopainterleaf.com right now for a free two-week supply of Voodoo Painterleaf Cream. It will take care of your aches. It will take care of your pains. It will take care of you. It will take care of your friend, parent, sibling. Go to voodoopainterleaf.com right now for a free two-week supply. The product is patented, and not many, if any, products like this are patented. Look in your drawer. Check if they're patented. Most likely, they aren't. Also, when you reorder the product, because you will reorder the product because it's a great product, available at voodoopainterleaf.com, if you choose to return the product, it's a free money-back guarantee. But you're not going to return the product because statistically, that's just not going to happen. The return rate is less than 0.1%. It's 12:52 a.m. in Minnesota. Minnesota Tim will be right back. Alright, so wrapping up the podcast, getting you ready for the final round of the Century Tournament of Champions. So I actually got some hate mail. It was kind of fun. I was looking at some hate mail, and it's funny. I've made jokes about it before and got people even more riled up. I responded to someone's hate mail on Apple Podcasts. I forget his name. I think it was Paul. I don't know. I forget his last name. I think his name was Paul. And anyway, he diagnosed himself or called himself Hollywood 22. I responded to it. And then Paul wrote another one, which just basically told me that he was listening, even though he hates me, which is all we want anyway. So thanks for listening to the Hank Caney podcast, even if you hate me. And then I got another one. And someone said, I think his name was Liam or something. He said, the people have spoken. The show is great. Minnesota Tim is not. It's nothing personal. Let Hank go solo. The people have spoken because there were about, I don't know, there's quite a few reviews, I guess. Five, probably like five or six reviews on Apple Podcasts that are negative about me, Minnesota Tim. So five or six negative reviews means the people have spoken. Do you realize how many listeners the Hank Caney podcast gets? Over 50,000. So because we had five or six negative reviews out of 50,000, that means the people have spoken? Not quite. All right. So getting into the lines entering the final round. So what's cool about this, and I was talking about it a little earlier, when you look at the lines on DraftKings Sportsbook for the final round of the Century Tournament of Champions, Harris English is the favorite at plus 200. So that means if you bet 100 on Harris English, you will win $200 if he wins. Colin Morikawa's plus 275. Ryan Palmer's plus 300. So not great odds there. You know, if you put $100 on either of those guys, you're not going to come away with a whole lot. There's just not much money in the game. There's not much fork in the game. There's not much meat available if you're going to put $100 on one of those players. But if you look down a little bit further, and of course, if you pick a guy a little bit further off the lead, then his odds are going to go down. But Daniel Berger is 18 under par. The leader is 21 under par. Ryan Palmer hasn't won an individual event since 2010. He won the Zurich Classic a couple of years ago, which is a team event. Harris English hasn't won an event since 2013. So if I was going to make a bet, in the final round, and this is so cool about golf, Daniel Berger's plus 1,000. So if you put $100 on him, you could win $1,000. And it's only three shots off the lead. We've seen plenty of PGA Tour players come back. We've seen plenty of PGA Tour players come back from three shots. Justin Thomas is four shots off the lead. He's plus 1,100. Sung J.M., he's four shots off the lead as well. He's plus 2,200. And this is what's so great about golf betting. You could put $100 on Daniel Berger, $100 on Justin Thomas, and $100 on Sung J.M., so that's $300 total. If either of those three players win, you're going to come out on top at least $700 because Daniel Berger has the best odds out of those three at plus 1,000. So if you put $300 on Berger, Thomas, and Sung J.M. total, the worst you could do if one of those three players wins is breaking plus $700. And that doesn't sound too shabby. Now, am I encouraging you to go bet? No, I'm not. You're not going to blame me if you lose out on $300. That is not happening. Not today, not ever. But if you do bet, if you're someone that likes to bet, if you're someone that likes to play the ponies, if you're someone that likes to take a risk, if you're someone that's going to watch the Century Tournament of Champions and wants to spice it up, liven it up, have some moolah on the line, have some anxiety, have some fun, watch a putt drop, watch a putt miss, and be cursing out the television, then hey, I would say those are the three bets to make. Colin Morikawa, he has the second highest odds to win. But there's just not much meat in the game. Daniel Berger, Justin Thomas, Sung J.M., those are the guys. Patrick Cantlay, he's the next on the list. He's plus 3,300. He's a little bit out of it. He's five shots back. So if you really want to take a huge risk, then you could go with Patrick Cantlay. But I would say the odds should be on either of those three players. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Hank Haney Podcast. It's now 12:58 a.m. in the Midwest. I am grinding on the Hank Haney Podcast. Follow the Hank Haney Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow this podcast on YouTube. You can follow my page, Minnesota Tim, where you can watch me recording the Hank Haney Podcast into the microphone. Kind of cool. A little something different. Follow all of us on Twitter at Hank Haney, at Great Predictor One for Steve Johnson, and at Tim Peroshka for me, Minnesota Tim Peroshka. Make putts, leave the flag stick in, and hit bombs like Brendan Todd. I'll be back later this week. Hank will be back tomorrow to react to the Century Tournament of Champions. Take care. Stay safe.
The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.